Livewire with Ling Pang.
Hi, this is Ling Pang for Livewire. I'm joined by singer-songwriter Simon Tolson-Clark of the pop group Redbox. What a pleasure to have you on Livewire, Simon. How are you?
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be with you.
You are involved in many roles, Simon, as a sound engineer, producer and songwriter, and have worked as a music consultant for other artists.
Yes, it's been very interesting. I think working with other artists taught me a lot about my own music and my own creativity. So although in those years I was very busy with other artists and I was writing my own songs as well and tending to just put them on the shelf. Because I didn't really have the time or the opportunity to record them and make an album for myself. So I ended up with about 150 songs on the shelf. And then I built a studio in my house. And that gave me the opportunity to go to the shelf and just listen to a few of the ideas that I'd never really listened back to. And it was very interesting. So I think those years when I was producing and writing music with other artists actually made it easier for me to come back to it for myself.
Mm. Talking about the band Redbox, founded by yourself and Julian Close, from the early 80s and to the present day, your band have achieved amazing 2 UK top 10 hits with the singles Lean On Me in 1985, and For America in 1986. Both of them were included on your debut album, isn't it? The Circle and the Square, that made Redbox famous around the world, wasn't it?
Yes. I mean, I think your listeners would be interested to know. My opinion is that you need a number of things to have success. If you're a young songwriter and you want to get your music to a larger audience, the first thing that you need to do is to be very enthusiastic and hardworking at writing songs and always coming up with new ideas. Mm. But I think there is a huge slice of luck as well. You need to be in the right place at the right time, and you need to make connections with the right people who can help you. And that's really what happened to me in the early 80s. Mm. I wrote some songs that could be made into singles around that time, and I was surrounded by good people who helped me. And I'm enormously lucky and grateful for that slice of luck. Suddenly, we went from being a band who were playing small clubs around London with a few hundred people coming to watch us, and almost within 1 month, we were a kind of global success, traveling the world and playing to audiences of 5,000-10,000 people. It happened very, very quickly in those days because in the mainstream, pop music connected with far more people than it does now. I think now we have just a series of niches. But then if you had a hit record, if you had a top 10 song, literally everybody in the country knew the song.
Yeah.
So I think it was a different time, but it's true that those two songs really gave me the momentum to go and work with other people and to be continuing to make music into my middle age.
Did you have a break and then return briefly in the 90s with the single Train and second album, wasn't it, called Motive?
Yeah.
And then a decade later, you came back with another album called Plenty.
Yes.
During those breaks, did you focus on music or went away from music and came back?
That's a good question. I was always involved making music. I began to be more in demand as a producer for other artists. And I worked for Warner Brothers for many years all over the world, producing and co-writing songs. Mm. But I think for my own albums, my own band, Redbox, there are two reasons that we go through a long process. The first is that I'm quite slow in my process of putting an album together. So I write for this new album, Chase the Setting Sun, I probably wrote something between 35 and 45 new songs over a couple of years. And then I was distilling it and getting to the essence, to the best 10 or 11 songs, although I probably recorded 30 of them to about 80% completion. And sometimes I might record three or four versions of the same song in different keys, different speeds. I might have a piano version or an orchestral version and a guitar version. And I sit, a lot of my process is that I circle the problem. I play my own recordings in the car or when I'm traveling, and I like to, I deliberately take long journeys. I travel in when I'm listening to music, because I find that I can gather my thoughts more effectively when I'm on the move. And that's really what my second album was about. That's why it was called Motive. It was about creating on the move. So then, only then do I come into the studio. And actually, I'm quite fast in the studio, but I take a lot of preparation, and which is why I think certainly the feedback we're getting from our fans, having just released this album, is they love it because there are no weak songs. So people are liking and enjoying all 11 songs on the record. The second reason that I take a long time between records is that, and I think this is true of us as a band, we live our lives. You know, when we first had the band, that was our family. So when we were in our 20s, Redbox was our entire world, our universe. But now we're a little more grown up. We all have families, we have children, and we like to spend time with them, and doing things and activities that are important to our children. So, for instance, my 16-year-old daughter is a very talented young show jumper, horse rider. So I travel with her, driving the lorry all over the UK and sometimes Europe to go to competitions with her. And then when we have a little bit of money and some time, we travel for holiday whenever we can. So although music and creating songs and touring and playing as a band together is incredibly important to us, it is in proportion with the rest of our lives and those of our loved ones. And actually, I think that is maybe a healthier situation than it was in the 80s when we first started. So it's part of the reason why Redbox travel on tour with a large family entourage. It makes us less profitable, but it is more enjoyable, and I think we're a little bit saner.
Putting your family life as equal to your musical career, don't you?
Yes, at least equal. It has to fit together. Otherwise, it can't be done.
Family is important because they are the one who provide you with the emotional support. Your family and your friends are
absolutely,
a part of your world as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I do. I really agree with that. And I think without that, what do you write songs about? You know, unless you're involved in the real world and with the people close to you, you have nothing to write about except yourself. And that's a very kind of egotistical and self-absorbed subject for your songwriting. So I think in order to lift your head and to look beyond your own horizon, and I've always tried to do that within my songs, I think you do need to just have your life needs to be fully integrated with those you love.
So that's where you draw your inspiration from in your music writing, and you like to keep yourself busy.
I think I'm not very good at being bored. I'm always looking for the next thing to do, and I don't mind if it takes me longer. Because I might begin things and decide, actually, this isn't of a high enough quality. So I always had a very difficult relationship with record labels, because a record contract compels you to release every couple of years. You're contractually bound by it. And I don't respect that. I think you need to release music when it's ready and when you are ready, when you have something to say. It's not a conveyor belt. It's far better that my music, I think the music is better if it reflects if it's a reflection of what I've been doing in my other life. So I don't hurry it. I let it come when it's ready. It's a little bit like slow cooking.
All good work comes with patience.
Yeah.
Tell me about your latest single. Who are the new members of the band?
Well, they're not really new members. I think back when I first started the band, it was just me and my university friend Julian, and we knew a lot of very good musicians, and we would bring musicians into the studio or into the band just for a particular song if we felt that it worked for that idea. But really for the last 15 years the lineup has been very settled, and we really got together through friendship first and became a lineup because as friends we enjoy making music. So the people in the band now have been in the band for quite a long time, although they were not necessarily the same, one or two of them were, as the people that I was working with when I first started in my 20s. But this album is really a reflection of the sound that the seven of us make. So we're now on stage and in the studio, there are seven of us. And I think that has led us to make a bigger and more muscular record. And I think our new album, Chase the Setting Sun, is definitely a hopeful and optimistic sound. And I thought it was a good time to make that kind of statement with Redbox, because we all feel the pressure of... We've all been through hard times politically and economically recently. And I suppose if I had to describe this album in one line, it's a reminder to myself and to anyone I love, and that would include Redbox fans, yes, that sometimes the best things and maybe the most important things in life are free. Family, friendship, love, making music. So that's really what the album is about. And I think that fits with the central principle in the band, which is that we will write, record and release music in our own way. We won't be beholden to a major label. We will do what we want as an independent producer.
Mm-hmm. Have you got any tours lined up, or you are touring right now?
We've just come back from Europe. We played a few dates there, a festival, and we're essentially gearing up to play from the new year onwards. We'll be playing in Poland, where we're very popular. We're putting a small UK tour together. So we'll be playing in the west of England, in the south of England, in the Midlands, the north, and in Scotland. And then we're going to Holland and Belgium, Germany, Scandinavia. So I think 2020 will see us play many more shows.
Your current single is available now to buy, isn't it?
Yep, all digital platforms. Mm. You can buy it, you can get the album, and you can get the singles. We've actually released three singles from the album. The first is called This Is What We Came For. The next one was called Gods and Kings. The third one is the title track of the album. It's called Chase the Setting Sun.
Do you have a website?
We have a website. I think probably the best way is actually to is to find us on Facebook, because we're posting as a regular thing, not every day, but there's always news every week on Facebook.
Yes.
If you search on Facebook Redbox Band, three words, Redbox Band, you'll find us. Please like us. There's information there on how to buy the album. If you want a physical copy of the album, CD or vinyl, we're selling a lot of this album on vinyl, you can go to our website, which is redboxmusic.co.uk.
I wish you all the best. Thank you for speaking to us today, Simon.
It's been my pleasure, Ling.
And this is Redbox's new single, Gods and Kings, from the album Chase the Setting Sun.
Somewhere down the road you'll harvest what you sowed, and we'll be divine. divided by the line. Somewhere in between you lost what might have been, and now we're scattered in the night. One by one we're falling, almost gone, we're calling out to you. Dream like soon. We are gods, we are kings, we are lords.
Livewire is a Steve Osborne production. For more information, visit steveosborne.info.